Jay Sekulow, a major hearing before the Judiciary Committee. We're going to discuss it and go inside the committee hearing room.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If you defend General Holder's decision not to appoint a special counsel to the IRS matter by regarding the investigation that took place under the Bush administration, can you compare the two?
I think the difference here is the number one, acknowledging the discretion. There were special counsels under the Bush administration, Patrick Fitzgerald being one of them. The situation you have here, and I think this is what's significant, and referring to the last witness, the comment, it's not what the IRS has done. I don't think any of us have the scope and understanding what the IRS has done. The problem is the agency investigating the IRS also does not know the scope of what the IRS. It all started with a fake apology and a planted question in the ABA. That should have been the focus of the FBI's investigation. Not questions to our clients about if they were on the phone calls too long or treated rudely.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We are going to do something very unique, and that is I'm going to actually take you inside the hearing room of the Judiciary Committee, where we had yesterday a full hearing on the IRS matter. Now, it was very contentious at times. You're going to hear this with questions going back and forth. And in the middle of the hearing, additional emails were released showing that Lois Lerner used expletives to describe our client and clients. She also said, we don't need to worry about alien terrorists. It's our own crazies that will take us down, talking about conservatives. This was on Lois Lerner's official IRS email account. Now, you look at the situation yesterday. Here's what was at stake. You had some members of the committee that saying, why are we having these hearings? What difference does it make? This isn't such a big deal. And I responded, well, it's a huge deal if you're an American citizen and your right to freedom of speech and freedom of association and ability to petition the government for a redress of grievance is interfered with by the IRS. And to complicate it, the idea that the Department of Justice is conducting what I call a faux investigation. This is a false investigation. It's not a real investigation. When we now have an email from Lois Lerner, you're going to hear this in the testimony, where she references a conversation she had with a leading head of the Department of Justice election crime group where they were going to, quote, piece together, end quote, cases, piece together. No evidence of it, but piece together cases for people that, quote, lied, end quote, on their applications. That means a grand jury's impaneled, people could get indicted and go to jail. What's the evidence of a crime here? Absolutely, positively, nothing. There is none. So ask yourself this question. Why is it that the government gets away with it? And the only reason the government can get away with it, quite frankly, is if the American people don't do anything about it. But the good news is, the American people are fighting back. And I'll tell you, that hearing yesterday, and you're going to hear all of it. We've edited it together for you. You can hear the highlights of this. It got contentious. I was duking it out, as they say, with members of Congress. But the fact of the matter is, what the IRS is getting away with or has gotten away with is ridiculous. We're holding him to account. We're fighting back on this. By the way, second half of the broadcast, I'm going to be on with Sean Hannity. You're not going to want to miss that. We talked about this at length. And what this means, we also talked about the Middle East. I mean, this whole idea of what's going on right now, folks, a government that's not accountable is outrageous. But let me also tell you this. We are in the very last day of our matching challenge campaign. And what that means is we are about $100,000 away from our goal of $1 million for the month of July. This is the last day for you to participate in the matching challenge campaign. If you haven't done so, let me encourage you, as a friend of the ACLJ, someone who appreciates this radio broadcast, our work in the United States, our work around the globe. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and make that online gift right now. $10 becomes 20, 20, 40, 40, 80. 80 is 160. We had some people that have donated $5,000. It becomes $10,000 for us. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and make that online matching challenge donation. Critical that you do that. You could also call it in at 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And folks, let me encourage you, support our work, get engaged. Last day of that matching challenge. Back with more in just a moment.
Thank you. Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
I have not done anything wrong. I have not broken any laws. I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee.
Do you consider Lois Lerner, head of the IRS, investigating conservative groups and saying on her official email account with the IRS that conservatives were crazies who were going to take this country down? Is that not a scandal?
Some would say that she made a truthful comment.
I have not done anything wrong.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Don't forget, we're in that matching challenge. Last day is today. We're about 100,000 short of our goal. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. The easiest way to do it, though, is make that donation at ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate is tax deductible, and we get a matching gift for it. Let's go right into the hearing. The chairman of the committee, Congressman Goodlatte, asked me for my opening statement. I went off script here, folks, because news was developing as I was giving it.
I'll introduce our witnesses. Mr. Jay Sekulow is chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He is an accomplished Supreme Court advocate, renowned expert on religious liberty, and a respected broadcaster. At the Supreme Court of the United States, Mr. Sekulow has argued several landmark cases which have become part of the legal landscape in the area of religious liberty litigation. Mr. Sekulow expanded the ACLJ's work globally, working to protect religious liberty and religious freedom. He launched the European Center for Law and Justice, where he serves as chief counsel and has opened offices around the world. Prior to joining ACLJ, Mr. Sekulow worked in the office of chief counsel for the Internal Revenue Service as a tax trial attorney. Mr. Sekulow received his PhD from Regent University with a dissertation on American legal history, is an honors graduate of Mercer Law School, where he served on the Mercer Law Review, and an honors graduate of Mercer University. He was appointed a visiting fellow of Oxford University at Harris Manchester College, where he lectured on Middle East affairs and international law. He also serves as a member of the Summer Research Institute at Oxford from 2013 to 2016. We'll start with Mr. Sekulow. Welcome.
Distinguished members of the committee, and on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice, thank you for allowing me to participate today. I serve as counsel to 41 organizations that have filed federal litigation against the IRS and related officials regarding the targeting. We were in cooperation with the Department of Justice for a period of time with their investigation. But when I chronicle the order in which things have developed over the last several months, specifically the missing emails, which is key evidence in this case, the faux apology that Lois Lerner gave when this scandal broke over a year ago, I have unfortunately had to conclude that the investigation by the Department of Justice is also a faux investigation. It is at surface at best, and we were compelled in a situation where we were producing clients for these investigators, for DOJ officials, for FBI agents, for Ms. Bosserman, to interview, with the assurance from the FBI that our clients were not and have not been subject to criminal investigations and were not targets of those investigations. They made that clear. Then an email surfaced in a batch of emails that were delivered. This one was dated May 8th of 2013. Of course, it just came out several weeks ago. It is from Lois Lerner. It is to Nicole Flack, who was the chief of staff for the then Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service. I got a call today from Richard Pilger, Director of Elections Crimes Branch at DOJ. I know him from contacts from my days there. He wanted to know who at the IRS, the DOJ folks, could talk to about Senator Whitehouse's idea that a hearing that DOJ could piece together false claim cases about applicants who, quote, lied, end quote, this is her email, on their 1024s, saying they weren't planning on doing political activity and then turning around and making large, visible political expenditures. DOJ is feeling like it needs to do something to respond, but they want to talk to the right folks at the IRS to see whether there are impediments from our side and what, if any, damage this might do to the IRS programs. I told them we need to talk to several folks at IRS. I'm out of town all of next week, so wanted to reach out and see who you think might be right for such a meeting. All hands on this. All hands off. I'll hand this off to Nan as a contact person if things need to happen while I'm gone. Piece together false claim cases so that my clients, with, by the way, and acknowledge, no evidence, could be subject to what? Grand jury investigations? And at the very same time, this comes, by the way, out 2 days before the apology from Lois Lerner. So this was an ongoing, systematic scheme. And Ranking Member Conyers, with due respect, there were a couple of liberal groups that were picked up in this dragnet. None of them were denied their tax-exempt status. I've got one client, by the way, that has been held for 5 years. Still does not have that status resolved. So we've got an email saying, let's piece together or attempt to piece together false statement cases. Another email, March 27th, just a few months before. This one again, Lois Lerner. As I mentioned yesterday, there are several groups of folks from the FEC world that are pushing tax fraud prosecution for C4s who report they are not conducting political activity when they are, or at least these folks think they are. One is my ex-boss, Larry Noble, former general counsel at the FEC, who is now president of Americans for Campaign Reform. This is their latest push to shut these down. One IRS prosecution would make an impact, and they wouldn't feel so comfortable doing this stuff. By the way, the stuff they're talking about is activity protected by the First Amendment. So I've got an email from the IRS referencing a Department of Justice call while the Department of Justice is supposed to be conducting this investigation. We know that there's the missing emails, but what may not be known is that there was actually a much earlier FOIA request. This has not been discussed publicly. This FOIA request was made in May 27th of 2010, right when this whole issue started just getting some attention. It came in from Lynn Walsh. She did this as an independent journalist. She sent it to the Internal Revenue Service Disclosure Office, asking for, as she phrased it, documents relating to any training, memos, letters, policies, et cetera, that detail how the Tax-Exempt Government Entities Division reviews application for nonprofits, 501c3s, and other not-for-profit organizations, specifically mentioning Tea Party, the Tea Party, Tea Party, or Tea Parties. The response that came into this request, of course, took until January 6, 2011. It's a quick response. We found no documents specifically responsive to your request. Well, we know that's absolutely false because there's been, even the ones that are, take out the ones that are missing, there are literally thousands, tens of thousands that were responsive to this. This is the cavalier attitude upon which the IRS was conducting itself. That's problematic. This is an office I served in, my first job out of law school.
250 years ago, was chief counsel's office of the IRS. I have a lot of respect for the office. I served on the legal faculty for the Department of Justice. This isn't something this unpleasant about this. This is damaging, it's troubling, and Mr. Chairman, in all due respect, that could be solved so easily by appointing a special counsel to get to the bottom of what is clearly a significant problem, the last of which is the missing emails. Thank you.
Well, that was my opening statement that I delivered right at the Judiciary Committee yesterday. I'm broadcasting to you from Washington, D.C. today. But I want to take you in a few moments after the break, actually into the hearing when we started the question and answer section. Members of Congress making statements and answering questions, Republicans and Democrats. And you'll see it got heated. Although there's a very light moment at the end, folks, you're going to see Democratic Congressman from Georgia, Congressman Johnson, who said to me, if he had a case that needed to go to the Supreme Court of the United States on the Constitution, he'd hire Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ. Coming from a Democrat, you're going to want to hear that. We'll play that towards the end of the broadcast. But the key was that, and the key is in the case, is that we're holding the government's feet to the fire here. We're not accepting their excuses. So we are also, and I need to say this, first, a huge thank you to so many of you that are standing with us. But right now, we are in the last day of our July matching challenge campaign. Our goal, $1 million. It's a big goal. And I'd love to break it. To do that, we need your help. And this is how it works. So when any amount you donate to the ACLJ, as you know this, it's tax deductible. But what happens is we get a matching grant for it. So in that matching grant, if we get a situation where someone donates $10, we get $20, $100 is $200, $500 is $1,000, you know, $2,000 is $4,000. So it adds up very quickly. So what I want to encourage you to do is support the work of the ACLJ. And help us make our goal in this matching challenge. You could do that. It's the easiest way, and this is the easiest way to do it, is just go to aclj.org. So it's aclj.org. You can go there and get that and make the online gift. You can also call in your pledge. That's fine, too. That'll count. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. You know, folks, not a lot of radio broadcasts that where the host of the programs are then the day before they're in the Judiciary Committee testifying. That's because of you. You allow us to do this work around the globe and certainly here in the United States as we fight for freedom. So, again, we urge you to stand with us right now as we're in this matching challenge campaign. aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more from the hearing in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast to everyone. We're going to go right back into the hearing room. Let me paint the picture quickly. It's the Judiciary Committee of the United States House of Representatives. On trial, if you will, is the IRS and the need for a special counsel to investigate this outrage that's going on. The faux investigation of the FBI is just that. It's fake. It's not real. And we need to fight back. Take a listen to this testimony.
You know, we've heard the central talking point of our friends on the left here is that this is the last full day before the break, that we shouldn't be dealing with such a minuscule issue. And I would just suggest to you that I think the issue that we deal with here is one of profound significance, in that the entire basis of a government that is essentially predicated on the rule of law is that somehow we can trust our government to treat us all equal under the law. And I think that's the central point here. And if indeed the IRS is guilty of using the power of the federal government to discriminate against people on the basis of political motivation, then the entire rule of law here is at stake. And this committee, being the Judiciary Committee, should be first and foremost committed to protecting the constitutional rights of the American citizens and to do everything that we can to further this notion of the rule of law. So I think it's a really big issue here that we're dealing with. And I guess I'm going to ask you to put it in your own words. Why do you think this is such a big deal?
Because fundamentally, when you look at the tax code as it exists, it's a voluntary compliance. The idea that that if a conflict were to arise during the course of an investigation, that you have to wait for the investigation to be completed is absurd. If the rule of law means anything, and with due respect to the Congresswoman, if the rule of law means anything, when you've got an agency with this amount of authority, both the Department of Justice and the IRS, and there is evidence in writing, not denied, that there was activity going on between two agencies while there is a criminal investigation going, if the rule of law means anything, if that conflict becomes known, it should be actionable. Now, that action rests with the Attorney General. But to say that we shouldn't be able to bring it up or discuss it or that it's not as significant of these other issues that the Congress is dealing with right now, I beg to differ. The freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom of assembly, the freedom to petition your government for a redress of a grievance is at the very core of who we are. And when that is tampered by two agencies, and one in particular that controls the lives of every American citizen, I don't think it's insignificant that this work is going on today. No disrespect to any other piece of legislation you're dealing with, but this is a very significant burden placed on American people for simply exercising their free speech rights. And when an agency has violated that trust and there is notification that, in fact, there is a conflict, you do not have to wait for the investigation to be completed. Because you want to talk about a waste of money? Know about a conflict. Don't react on that conflict. In the law, if you do that, it's malpractice. And you know what ends up happening? You got to do the investigation all over again. And, Congresswoman, that becomes a lot more expensive.
Well, obviously, I couldn't agree with you more. I would suggest to you that we're in violent agreement on that subject. You know, the notion that we all pay our taxes voluntarily, there is something that you brought up in your response. It seems to me that if people believe that the IRS will arbitrarily begin to persecute particular groups, people begin to wonder, why do we even pay taxes? And the entire process, the entire hope of our government is based on a fundamental, intrinsic trust of the American people that somehow that this thing called law is going to prevail, that everybody's going to be treated fairly under it. And if it isn't, then it's time for us to go ahead and give our apology to England for being so recalcitrant in the revolutionary days and to board this place up and go home and wait for the end patiently. So this is not a small issue that my friends on the left would try to suggest. So my last question to you, Mr. Sekulow, is this. What do you think is the most significant? I know we've got, the conflict of interest. I know we've got the president saying that there's not a smidgen of corruption here. All of those things bear thought. But what do you think, in your opinion, is the most significant legal or glaring piece of evidence that shows that the IRS has deliberately used its power in an untoward, in an unfair, and an outside the rule of law?
Besides their own admission, Congressman, of that
that's
targeting.
A detail.
That's
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you look at the email exchange from Lois Lerner,
to other officials within the IRS, referencing her conversation with the head of the director of the Election Crimes Branch of the Department of Justice, and uses the words "piece together false statement cases" to see if they, quote, lied, to impanel a grand jury. That would be the next thing. Of course, no evidence of any criminal wrongdoing here. That is a government that is out of control, out of check, and needs to be put back in balance. And that's why a special counsel would be a good move, not mandated, but a good move for the Department of Justice to make here. They themselves are part of the problem. It's in emails right here.
Dr. Sekulow.
Yes, sir.
Your name will live in infamy as a litigator extraordinaire. Whether or not you agree with your positions or not, you have to tip your hat to a litigator, a man who uses the courts as the courts should be used, and that is to rectify and redress harms that afflict his clients, his clients. And so I take my hat off to you for that, sir. And you're also from Georgia, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I remember
Decatur.
Decatur, Georgia, which is where I started practicing law back in 1980. And
same year.
Is that right?
I did.
You take the bar exam in 79?
I did.
February?
Probably sitting right there with you in the wherever we took it in downtown.
Yeah, that's something, boy, I tell you. Yeah, we have more in common than I thought. I just want everybody to know that should I ever have a issue with the First Amendment and my case needs to go all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, I'm going to call Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice, regardless of whether or not it's a progressive or conservative issue. I just wanted to state that for the record.
I thank the counsel, my friend from Georgia, and this hearing is adjourned.
Folks, we got another half hour of the broadcast coming up. My guest, Sean Hannity, you're not going to want to miss that. We talk about the IRS. We talk about the situation with Israel as well. A lot to talk about. But, folks, this is it. Last day for you to participate in our Matching Challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We are literally, folks, about $100,000 short of our goal. If you call us at 1-877-989-2255, give the information for your pledge, or if you simply go to aclj.org, which is the easiest way, right there in the right-hand corner says donate now. I'll also be sending out an email alert on this. aclj.org, that's aclj.org, or 1-877-989-2255. And let me encourage you to do that again, aclj.org or 877-989-2255.
Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
I just want everybody to know that should I ever have a issue with the First Amendment and my case needs to go all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, I'm going to call Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice, regardless of whether or not it's a progressive or conservative issue. I just wanted to state that for the record.
I thank the counsel, my friend from Georgia, and this hearing is adjourned.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the IRS hearing before the Judiciary Committee. Coming up on the next segment of broadcast, I'm going to be on with Sean Hannity. You're not going to want to miss that. But let's go back to the hearing room here. This gives you a sense of what was going on as we were defending your right to free speech at the Judiciary Committee.
You know, we've heard the central talking point of our friends on the left here is that this is the last full day before the break, that we shouldn't be dealing with such a minuscule issue. And I would just suggest to you that I think the issue that we deal with here is one of profound significance, in that the entire basis of a government that is essentially predicated on the rule of law is that somehow we can trust our government to treat us all equal under the law. And I think that's the central point here. And if indeed the IRS is guilty of using the power of the federal government to discriminate against people on the basis of political motivation, well, then the entire rule of law here is at stake. And this committee, being the Judiciary Committee, should be first and foremost committed to protecting the constitutional rights of the American citizens and to do everything that we can to further this notion of the rule of law. So I think it's a really big issue here that we're dealing with. And I guess I'm going to ask you to put it in your own words. Why do you think this is such a big deal?
Because fundamentally, when you look at the tax code as it exists, it's a voluntary compliance. The idea that it that if a conflict were to arise during the course of an investigation, that you have to wait for the investigation to be completed is absurd. If the rule of law means anything, and with due respect to the Congresswoman, if the rule of law means anything, when you've got an agency with this amount of authority, both the Department of Justice and the IRS, and there is evidence in writing, not denied, that there was activity going on between two agencies while there is a criminal investigation going, if the rule of law means anything, if that conflict becomes known, it should be actionable. Now, that action rests with the Attorney General. But to say that we shouldn't be able to bring it up or discuss it or that it's not as significant of these other issues that the Congress is dealing with right now, I beg to differ. The freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom of assembly, the freedom to petition your government for a redress of a grievance is at the very core of who we are. And when that is tampered by two agencies, and one in particular that controls the lives of every American citizen, I don't think it's insignificant that this work is going on today. No disrespect to any other piece of legislation you're dealing with, but this is a very significant burden placed on American people for simply exercising their free speech rights. And when an agency has violated that trust and there is notification that, in fact, there is a conflict, you do not have to wait for the investigation to be completed. Because you want to talk about a waste of money? Know about a conflict. Don't react on that conflict. In the law, if you do that, it's malpractice. And you know what ends up happening? You got to do the investigation all over again. And, Congresswoman, that becomes a lot more expensive.
All right, everybody, that's it for the hearing. But coming up, my guest, I'm on with Sean Hannity. You're not going to want to miss it. We have a fascinating discussion about the IRS, a fascinating discussion about Israel. You're going to want to stay tuned to all of it. Let me encourage you, though, this is it. Last day to participate in our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. It means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. Let me encourage you to do that today. Again, a huge thank you to those of you who have already stood with us on this. We're about $100,000 or so short of our goal. We're going to get there with your help. ACLJ.org for the matching challenge campaign. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Stay tuned for Sean Hannity and me.
Thank you.
Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which have vowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. As soon as I was done with the hearing yesterday, walked back over to our offices, sat down in our radio studios, and talked with Sean Hannity about the very case I had just testified in front of the Judiciary Committee, and also talked about Israel. Take a listen.
We have Jay Sekulow back with us to update us on another of our top stories of the day, and that, of course, we have new emails that show that, in fact, Lois Lerner hated conservatives. Lois Lerner called conservative assholes. Anyway, so we know that Jay was in front of the Judiciary Committee holding their feet to the fire with regard to the IRS scandal, in which the White House still denies, despite the abundance of evidence that has been provided. Anyway, he's here to bring us up to speed on all of this. Linda's in my ear, so you just said ass. Well, that's what that's in the news.
Well, you shouldn't feel bad, because I was at the hearing when the news broke on this, and I said the same thing. I said it the more genteel way. I said a-hole. But I think one of the members of Congress actually said the way you so eloquently restated exactly what Lois Lerner said. But you know, even worse than the a-hole comment is the comment that she said that we don't have to worry about foreign terrorists. Our own are worse. I mean, so there's a whole litany of emails that have come out. And you know, Sean, this faux investigation by the IRS and this fake Justice Department and faux apologies, I think the American people have really – it's enough already. And that's what we were trying to convey to Congress today. They really do need to get a special counsel here, because no one believes that the Department of Justice has any credibility, especially when you uncover an email where the Department of Justice is in cahoots with Lois Lerner to, quote, piece together criminal cases against my clients. Who pieces together a criminal case with no evidence?
Let me ask you this, because we still have the issue unresolved about emails. Now, we were told that they scratched the hard drive, and that means the data still could have been recovered. And then we were told by the head of the IRS that, in fact, we might be able to recover the lost emails. Then they said, well, maybe not recover the lost emails. Then they thought it might be with the server, and we keep getting conflicting messages. Yep. What's the latest?
Well, here's the latest. In our case, motions were made to say we want to know exactly what happened with those emails. And they came in and said basically we tried to, you know, scrub them. We couldn't get them back. And that's what they put in writing, the Department of Justice, to the judge in our case. 4 days later, you have this new report. Well, maybe we can get them back. So what needs to happen is that an independent forensic expert needs to be appointed by the court that goes in and gets control of the data. Now, they shouldn't be looking at taxpayer information, You need to sequester that. Everybody agrees with that. But as far as where the data is, what the emails consisted of, that has to happen. And frankly, you now have two district court judges, by the way, Sean, both judges Democrats, have said these cases can proceed and move forward to the discovery. We're expecting a decision on our case in the next 2 weeks. I expect the judge is going to allow our main case, which is the biggest case, to go forward. And when he does, then the discovery starts, so we will be able to get a forensic evidence in then. But they really need to do that now. There's been motions that have been made on it. But the IRS came back and said, oh, we couldn't find him. We can't find him. And then they say, well, maybe we can.
Can I go back to the beginning here? Because this never made any sense to me. Okay?
Yeah.
And that is that, all right, destroying the hard drive is one thing, but, you know, if I'm looking to recover my emails, I'm not going to go to my hard drive. The odds are the first place I would go is to my server. Where's the server? Who destroyed the server?
They don't know. They believe they were destroyed or recycled. They haven't been able to clarify exactly where they went and how it happened that they were destroyed. They apologize about that as they apologize about everything. But remember, it's not just her server and her emails, quote-unquote, crashing, her computers. It was everybody she was sending documents to. But interestingly, only for the 12 months that was at the heart of this case. I mean, Sean, this is when I was sitting there in the Judiciary Committee today, I mean, it's a very solemn, serious event. I'm sitting there thinking, you could not make this stuff up. I mean, who would possibly believe this? You know, Nixon tried to use the IRS, wasn't able to implement it. And evidently, those that are in control of on the machinery of government certainly have been able to utilize it. And they're still in this quasi-denial as if all of this was just an accident of low-level employees, even though you're trumping out all this evidence, which is, you know, this is the old story. The hits keep on coming. And every day there's something else here.
What about this Wall Street Journal article from yesterday where apparently in 2010 an IRS agent told a pro-Israeli group that's involved in Israeli-related issues, Z Street, that its application was delayed because the tax agency in D.C.'s office was given special scrutiny to groups whose missions might conflict with the administration's policies? That's not the criteria to judge whether or not somebody gets tax-exempt status or not.
You're absolutely right. Let me tell you about the Z Street case. I actually was lecturing for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to lawyers from all over the world, and the Z Street lawyers were at my my talk, and I met with them afterwards. This was just as the case was starting. And what's fascinating about their case is you've got the agents saying, look, your position in favor of Israel, a pro-Israel position, pro-ability to defend themselves, is in contrast with the Obama administration's position, ergo, we're going to deny you tax-exempt status or not approve it, period. Now, first of all, they don't have the authority to do it. That's number one. Number two, who authorized these agents to be the interpreter of what's a proper policy for Israel or not? Number three, we're free citizens. We can have whatever position on this we want. But here's what's happened in that one. It's the same thing, Sean. This was the very first beginning, 2010. This is when it first started. And there was an email exchange yesterday that we got our hands on where a Freedom of Information Act request was filed by a reporter, not a Tea Party group, not a conservative group, a reporter requesting documents in late January, February of 2010. This was just as the president made his statement, you know, in front of the Supreme Court chastising them. And in it, she asked for any documents related to how Tea Parties are classified, examined, reviewed, approved. She put Tea Party, Tea Parties. I mean, very specific. IRS comes back a year later with a one-page formal response. They have their cover letter stuff, and then it says, we've reviewed our records. There are no documents. That was a complete false statement, a complete fabrication. And why is it that the FBI has to rely on the media to find out that there is, in fact, no email evidence? And they say, well, they've had an investigation going on for a year, but it took them reading it in the media or listening to it in the media to find out that the evidence for the years they were talking about is gone. This whole thing is so bogus, it stretches any credibility whatsoever. And I think, frankly, Eric Holder, attorney general, you got to be a really good attorney and a general. And unfortunately, he's not only showing leadership, I think he's the biggest part of the problem.
I think we have a lawless attorney general. You know, Democrats are talking about impeachment because they're generating money among their base. I think we ought to talk about an attorney general that needs to be replaced.
You know, Sean, they're doing this whole, you know, the whole thing with the impeachment, of course, is nothing but a ruse. You know what they did to the Judiciary Committee today?
What?
And this was the same kind of thing. They said the standard is the appointment of a special counsel is completely discretionary with the attorney general. The House agrees with that. That is what the law is. Everybody understands it. They go in to the hearing saying, I can't believe that members of the House saying that they have the right, the House members have the right to have the attorney general demand and that he must follow their demand and appoint a special counsel. And we came back. I said, you know, read what the House wrote in a resolution. They urged him to do it. They thought it would be the prudent thing to do. They said it met the standards, but they acknowledged that the discretion lies with him. But, Sean, they are not going to want to debate that issue. Instead, they want – listen, there was someone trying to turn it into an impeachment thing today at this hearing. That's what this is all about at the end of the day. They're trying to create something that doesn't exist as a distraction from their disaster.
Well, I think that's the point. I mean, I think all this talk about impeachment is they know it's not going to happen. The press knows it's not going to happen. No elected Republican official said it would happen. But yet they continue to go down this road because they're generating money from a very gullible base.
Yep.
And they it's a perfect distraction issue for them.
It is. And, you know, the FOIA requests have been very helpful. Talking about on the Israel stuff, we just sent out a FOIA request to the FAA. I want to know who authorized and how did they come to the position to authorize that jets for that few period of days not fly into Tel Aviv, which wreaks havoc on the economy of Israel. Who authorized that? And based on what evidence? Something happened, you know, in the Ukraine, so you're worried about a plane getting knocked down in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv? This is this kind of approach of knee-jerk reaction, and whether it's the IRS, whether it's the FEC, whether it's foreign policy coming out of state that is so anti-Israel I can hardly believe it. The reality is it takes getting this kind of information at the Freedom of Information Act. You know, this all started, remember, this whole IRS thing started because Mark Levin's group filed the Freedom of Information Act request, and then we filed a lawsuit. Yeah,
that's landmark legal.
The same
legal.
Thing here. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's the same thing here. You got to file this stuff because this government is certainly the least transparent in our lifetime.
We've got a lot more ahead, but before we do that again, folks, this is it. Last day of our matching challenge campaign. Come on, join with us on this. Get us over the top. We're $100,000 away from meeting our goal of $1 million for July. It's $1 million goal for July. ACLJ.org is the easiest way for you to do it. There'll be a button right there in the corner that says Matching Challenge. Just click on that. Literally takes seconds. ACLJ.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255 to call your pledge in. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, this is our Matching Challenge campaign, which means any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for, and that keeps us on the air. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. More with Sean Hannity when I come back.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Israel is under attack. Hamas terrorists, which avowed to destroy Israel, are launching rockets aimed at Israeli civilians, including women and children. By one account, 70% of Israel's population is in range of Hamas rocket attacks. Hamas's goal is to inflict severe civilian casualties and annihilate Israel. Israel is defending its citizens. Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. The ACLJ has mobilized teams around the world to support and defend Israel as it defends its citizens. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. It is a busy week here at ACLJ in Washington, D.C. Jordan was actually on Janet Parshall's radio show talking about several of the issues that we've been working about. We've been talking about them on this broadcast already, but the Obamacare issue, the IRS scandal where Jay was testifying in front of Congress, and also the Ground Zero Cross victory. He had a chance to talk about all of those with Janet. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
Jordan, I've said this before, and I know that I run the risk of people thinking that somehow I've categorized this for being political, but if it were a Republican who had done this, if a Republican administration who had done this, I would be having exactly the same conversation. I strongly believe in rights of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion. They're all together. You can't just pick and choose what parts of the First Amendment you happen to like. All of them need to be protected and preserved. So when the government says, you know what, we're going to make life difficult for you because we don't happen to like your particular worldview, so therefore we're not going to grant you this particular tax status, which is going to impact you financially, which may or may not impact you to the point where you're not able to go ahead and influence in the marketplace of ideas, that's terrible. And yet it seems to me that this is an uphill battle simply because politics has gotten in the way of what needs to be a thorough investigation here. What update can you give us?
Sure. And, you know, the IRS situation, now the IRS is starting to change their story so much more. You know, first it was Lois Lerner and other officials that these hard drives and their emails were just gone from the key time period 2009 to 2011, which is when all of the groups we represent basically started being targeted and when they were effectively shut down by the IRS because they weren't able to move forward in the 501c4 process. And then there was a deputy associate chief counsel of the IRS who did a closed door testimony with a congressional committee, and he said, well, they may actually not be gone. There may be some hard drives. And then we heard from the IRS commissioner who's gone back and said, well, now we're looking into the possibility of some hard drives. I don't know, and it's sad to say this, I don't know if the IRS is just toying with members of Congress and the public right now with trying to play this game of back and forth on whether or not we'll ever get those emails. But they had some specialists submit affidavits in federal court to say that to their knowledge, it was destroyed. The same week that they started telling Congress, well, maybe we spoke too soon on that, even though they told Congress the reason why they didn't tell them quickly was because they were trying to make sure that this wasn't the case. So should there be a special counsel here? And of course, we support that idea because ultimately to leave this up to the Eric Holder Department of Justice is suspicious at best when you see how this is unfolding. And like you said, I can't imagine a conservative or Republican administration getting away with missing emails like this and then going back 2 months later and say, well, maybe they do exist, and playing games like this with Congress and the media. Who has expressed some outrage. I think that they don't really like the excuses, but at the same time, they have in a sense been lied to by the, you know, that they pulled along, and certainly, you know, it's one of those stories where if we don't talk about it, if we're not talking about it now, it's certainly not getting the kind of coverage that I think it would under different administrations.
What's the feasibility, do you think, of getting a special prosecutor on this? Again, this is done within the atmospherics of politics.
You know what? I think the upcoming elections could have a serious impact on that because you could have a change in Capitol Hill where the Republicans take back the Senate and President Obama's got to deal with more legislation on his desk and a lot more pressure from Senate committees.
Wow. We are so thrilled to be talking to Jordan Sekulow, who's the executive director of ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. And I want to talk about some court rulings now, but I want to start about one hot off the presses, the 9/11 Memorial Museum and a cross. What's going on, Jordan?
You know, this was a challenge by one of the new kind of resurgent atheist groups, different than the ACLU or groups that we may have dealt with in the past with the church-state separation issue. These groups are very extreme. And what we saw, this group, American Atheist, has had this very public lawsuit against the inclusion of what's known as the Ground Zero Cross at the 9/11 Memorial and Museum in New York. And so they filed this lawsuit. It was first before the a district court in New York. It was dismissed. And so they said, you know, you don't even have standing to challenge this. They, of course, appealed that, as is typical in that.
they got to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and you had a 3-0 decision today. Very clearly, not just on a technical ground, spell out why the American Atheist cannot be successful in their challenge. One part of that is because they've kind of got a confused pleading. This idea that either the cross violates the Constitution or you can include an atheist symbol. Now, there wasn't an atheist symbol that came out of the rubble of 9/11, but that idea that it violates the Constitution for us unless you include us. And what the court said is the government, and in this situation, a place like a museum or a park, in a case that we actually won at the Supreme Court 9-0 a few years ago about government speech, and the idea that a government in a place where they're accepting monuments or memorials certainly doesn't have to take everything and has to make decisions. And so that's part one. And then part two, of course, is you're not going to have an establishment clause challenge to something like the cross if on the one hand you're saying, well, it could be constitutional if you include us. And so the court was clear. They could appeal it, Janet. They can try to go to a full panel of the Second Circuit or ultimately the Supreme Court. But the precedent that was cited was relevant and very recent Supreme Court precedent. So it may be one where this is the final say.
Yeah, boy, I hope so. You know, Jordan, we've talked about this at our conversation here on this program. It was historic. How anybody could stretch this to say that somehow it hits the tripwire of the Establishment Clause is just ludicrous on its face, because this was a piece that fell literally when the buildings went down, and it fell. It was in the shape of a cross. It offered comfort to people who were there. You don't have to subscribe to that worldview, but it is a component in the history that was that fateful day.
And that's exactly what the court said, that the idea that something is not a religious purpose. It's not there because it's a Christian museum. Just because something that's historical is also religious. In fact, they put a quote from a previous Supreme Court case about the idea that it's really indispensable, that our history, for good and for ill, you can't make a disconnect between the history of mankind and religion. And so in museums, of course, we're going to see religious items because it's part of just the history of human beings. And so, again, a very clear decision by the court, 3-0, not a split decision, not something
That's
where there
right.
was a dissent. And you know, this is these new groups that we're facing in court. This was one of the more egregious cases they filed, and I think one of the more upsetting ones to a lot of people because if it was the 9/11 Memorial and Museum and the Ground Zero Cross. But at the same time, you have to take these cases seriously. They're not going to give up because of this loss.
Exactly. So because they won't give up, even though they got a zip decision today, 3-0, what's their last recourse here? Where would they have to take it now for an appeal?
They could finally, you know, try to appeal directly to the Supreme Court or go for what's called en banc review, so the full
right.
panel of the Second Circuit. You know, I think it's pretty unlikely. You never know. I don't like to say definitely, but pretty unlikely because of how clear this opinion was. And there's not a case out there that really conflicts with this.
Well, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. So this is my last chance to ask you for some help. We are $100,000, maybe a little bit less than that, away from our goal right now. Let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. You'll also be getting an email from me. You could do that as well. But just go to the website, ACLJ.org, and support the work of the ACLJ. It's our last day for our matching challenge campaign. Again, you could also do it at 1-877-989-2255. So either place, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. It's our matching challenge campaign, which means any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Israel is now conducting a targeted military operation into Hamas strongholds in Gaza to shut down secret tunnels used by the terrorists and to destroy Hamas rockets. Now more than ever, it is critical to stand with Israel. Stand with us. Stand with Israel. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.